It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by Amber Waves Hair Salon, where every day is a good hair day. Amber Waves, located in downtown Naperville. And brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Pay off your loan in just 7 years with DuPage Credit Union's special 2.965% APR, 7-year fixed-rate mortgage. This is a limited-time offer for homeowners, so act now while rates are still low. You can apply at DuPageCU.com to lock in the special rate. That's DuPageCU.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also brought to you by Amber Waves Hair Salon, where every day is a good hair day. Amber Waves, located in downtown Naperville. I think I just said that. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by JW Rural Landscape Services. Give Jim a call, and he and his team can use their years of experience and knowledge of plants and formal training to complete your desired outcome, whether it's a large project or a fairy garden. You will notice the difference. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Belgio's Catering. They put the special in special events. Stiefel Nicholas, helping people manage their money and investments for over 100 years. Pope Family Dental, veteran-owned and veteran-friendly, and just down the street from the VFW Hall in downtown Naperville. Fast Signs Naperville, Sullivan Steakhouse in downtown Naperville, featuring delicious mouth-watering steaks and tasty side dishes, along with the Dolly Teeny. Body Bronze Sun, the Spa of Naperville, the only way to tan. Naper Settlement, Mad Landscaping, let them take care of all your fall cleanup. Arthur Murray Dance Studio in Naperville, and now in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. And the Naperville Trolley and Tour. Hop aboard the beautiful Naperville Trolley and call Annette to schedule any wedding parties, bar hops, birthday parties, bachelorette parties, holiday lights tours, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Ding, ding.
Wow! I feel good. I knew I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, guys, welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio, the good show, I like to call it, that airs every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10:30. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. Thanks for tuning into the good show, where every week, you know, I bring you a good topic to discuss, good news, good gifts, and at least one good laugh, and I welcome your call. So give me a call today. I'm giving away lots of tickets to many exciting events and tickets to a special event this weekend, Sheryl Crow at the NIU Convocation Center. So listen in and give us a call. The number to call is 347-945-7215. That's 347-945-7215. My guest today on The Good Show, Jennifer Metten, who's the occupational therapist over at Edward Hospital. She works very closely in the new sensory room. We're going to talk more about that with her in just a few minutes. Linda Saviago, she's with the 100 Club of DuPage County. You all have heard of the 100 Club, right? Well, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you about it. She's going to be on and tell us all about it. We also have Travis Thrasher. He's a world-renowned author, just wrote a book that's coming out. In fact, is it this week that it's coming out? My producer. December or October? October 29th, coming out very, very soon, and he has co-written a book with Dorothy Shackelford. Who's Dorothy Shackelford? She is, believe it or not, I'm not kidding you, Blake Shelton's mama. So she's going to be talking, or he's going to be talking about his new book that he collaborated with her on this. And then we have, once again, our favorite weekly contributor on the Good Inspiration segment on the Dolly McCarthy Show, Michelle Lynn Gust. She'll be joining us later on in the show. So you'll stick around. You got to stick around for all of that. Lots of good guests today, and we'll get to all of them very soon. But first, this is the Dolly McCarthy Show, the good show on Internet radio, and indeed it is a good show. I love to hear all the good things that happen in your life. Hey, did anything good happen in your life this week? Give me a call. Maybe you had a baby, or maybe your daughter had one, a sister. Maybe you had your fifth baby. Yeah, I've been there, peeps. Maybe you got a new job. Let's do a shout out to your new boss. Heck, good thing, Shippa. Let's hear it. All right, call in. And remember, you know, I like to give away free stuff, so I've got lots of goodies to give away. We've got Dolly mugs, right, Beth? We're getting those new beautiful Dolly mugs. We ran out of the first batch. We've ordered more. We've got lots more coming. We've had a lot of requests for these Dolly mugs, and I like to give away free stuff, so we're going to give away some Dolly mugs. We also got two tickets to Chris Cagle, who's going to be rocking out Scooter's Roadhouse in Shorewood on November 1st. We've got tickets to Sheryl Crow, who's coming this Saturday night to NIU's Convocation Center. He's going to be performing with country singer Gary Allen. That is going to be quite a show. I'm going. So if you win tickets, we definitely have to hook up and take some pictures. You know, me and the pictures. That would document our life here. Beth thinks I'm crazy. She thinks I'm crazy with all these pictures. Then we also have tickets to Florida Georgia Line. I want to promote that. That we're going to give away next week. So just keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. Lots of good stuff on the Dolly McCarthy Show. So get ready to call in. All right. Well, you know, this has been quite a week. If you're from the Chicagoland area, you know, it depends upon where you were, but it actually snowed in Chicago. I can only confirm that it did it in Naperville, though, because I actually witnessed it coming out of Costco with my jumbo box of Cheerios, big snowflakes. Couldn't believe it. I think that was the first time that I saw snow before the Christmas song started playing on the radio. Too funny. Lots of folks not happy about it, but I say it's all right. We need a little Christmas already, don't we? And speaking of Christmas, the Dolly McCarthy Show is a very proud sponsor of the Marine Corps' Toys for Tots, which is coming up. Did I say toys? Toys for Tots. It's a little New York there. Coming up on November 1st, we're going to kick off the holidays. Come with us. Join us at the Hilton Lyle Naperville. It's almost sold out. I think there's only two rooms left, too, from the hotel, what they told me. They've sold out all the rooms pretty much. There might be two rooms left. But the Toys for Tots event is in that hotel. You don't have to spend the night there, but a lot of people have because it's a Friday night. And, you know, planning ahead, you don't want to drink and drive. It's a very special night, so please make plans to be there. Join us there. The Dolly McCarthy Show will be there. Beth and I will be there. Some of our interns will be with us. And the festivities start at 8 o'clock, and we're going to go until midnight. You can't get the early bird discount anymore unless you are a listener of the Dolly McCarthy Show. So if you are a listener of the Dolly McCarthy Show, yeah, that's you listening right now. It's only $75 to get in. Otherwise, it's $90 for everybody else. So consider yourself special. Only $75 gets you a full night of fun, heavy hors d'oeuvres, open bar, an amazing dessert buffet. And we had on the show a couple weeks ago Terrell Cole, who is a former chef of Sullivan's and now the owner of Dark Horse Pastries. So he's going to be putting out all those delicious pastries. There's going to be a DJ there and dancing and a silent auction. I can't say enough good things about this event. It's going to truly be a very special event. And did I mention the silent auction, which includes a special tour by yours truly, a tour of the historic WGN studios. I'm going to throw that in. So assist the U.S. Marine Corps in providing toys for economically disadvantaged kids at Christmas time. Their motto, every child deserves a little Christmas. Let's do this, guys. Please call and get your tickets. All the information is on our Facebook page. Click on the link and buy your ticket today on the Eventbrite page. As I said, only $75. And I personally will be so grateful to you for supporting such a worthy cause. I'm so thrilled. I look on this Eventbrite page and I see all the names of friends and listeners and even some family. My cousin Marie Hanchigal, shout out to my cousin Marie, got her ticket. I saw that you bought yours the other day. So I just want to thank all my listeners who already bought tickets. And for those of you listening, please, please get your date or girlfriends, your hubby, whatever it is, and get down there to the Marine Corps Toys for Tots event coming up November 1st. Right here in my second hometown of Naperville at the Hilton Lyle Naperville. Okay, so we told you last week about the Naperville Rotary's Soups On, which the Dolly McCarthy Show was a major media sponsor. And this is what I love about this job. Dare I call this a job, really, because really, it's an honor to feature and promote all the non-for-profits in not just the Naperville community, but all around Chicagoland. The Valley McCarthy Show is also going to be sponsoring the Snowflake, is it Snowflake Shuffle that they call it, or Run in Geneva? We're all over Chicagoland. So if you have an event you want to promote and you're interested in featuring it on the Dolly McCarthy Show, contact Beth, my producer of the show, Beth@thedollymccarthyshow.com, and we'll set it up. We'll definitely get out there and promote it. But we're really thrilled to be a part of that event. That Snowflake Shuffle is to promote awareness of the Tri-City Family Services non-for-profit out there in the St. Charles, Geneva area. So really, it's an honor to feature and promote all these non-for-profits and all the folks that are working hard to make a difference for those less fortunate in the world. And last Sunday, Soups On, a huge success. My hat's off to the Naperville Rotary Club. So many folks in the community came out to support that cause, and it was just really great to see them come out and support the Loaves and Fishes Community Food Pantry, Hesed House, and DuPage Pads. They had stations everywhere. There was no shortage of food there, that's for sure. Lots of good food. And Terrell was out there, too, with his pastries, and he wouldn't let me leave without a box of goodies. So love you, Terrell, and that Dark Horse Pastries is really making a huge impact in the community. People are, it's a big buzz around town because we're just so proud of him. He's reinvented himself, and he's got some good food there, that's for sure. Lots of love in the room for sure. Speaking of love, listen to this. That is my nephew. Oh my God. I can't get it to shut up. All right, Jakey. That's my Jakey. That's my nephew. My sister Carol is going to crack up when she hears this. I couldn't get it to stop. Did you guys all hear that? Little Jakey. He loves me and I love him. So I thought it'd be funny to play that because I had talked about all the love in the room at Soups On. And I just have so much love for this little guy. He's just the best. Little Jakey, I think he was 2 years old when we recorded that. You hear that little, I love my Aunt Dolly. Isn't that just precious? I'm so glad I recorded that, and I wanted to share that with you all, put a smile on your face, because it sure put a smile on my face. Listening to that little man, oh, gosh, they're growing up way too fast. Anyway, I hope you all love me, because I love you all. Thanks for listening. And I know at least Jakey loves me. All right, enough of this nonsense. Dolly, you got lots of guests, so we're going to move on. We have the lovely, speaking of love, we have the lovely Jennifer Mattern on the line. Jennifer, are you there? I hope I didn't hang up on her. You know me with this board here. I think I got her. Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning, Dolly.
Oh, fantastic. Jennifer Mattern's on the line. She is. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure, my pleasure.
Jennifer had reached out to me, and you told me about something that I wasn't aware of in this community, and it's so important, not just in Naperville, that's where we broadcast the show, but these type of rooms, spaces at hospitals and various facilities around the Chicagoland area, around the world for that matter, are very important. Edward Hospital has put together a new sensory room, and this is a very special place, right, because it helps children with autism and ADHD?
Yes, it does.
Tell us about this room. And is this brand spanking new? Is this opened?
And we started our program. Our room opened last January. This was a very needed component of the pediatric rehabilitation program at Edward. Our community has needs for kids that have what we call sensory processing disorder, and Edward has seen an outreach in looking at kids that are now having trouble functioning in daily life, and how could we help out by doing that. And we had our hospital recognized this need, and we opened our sensory room last January.
Okay, just goes to show I'm really on the stick here. How did I not know that? Well, you know what? For those of us that are not familiar with it, the sensory processing disorder, tell us specifically what is that? For parents who don't have kids that have this type of issue, but want to be educated and be sensitive to those folks that do have children like that.
Sensory processing disorder actually occurs in about one in every 20 kids. It occurs when the brain activity is perceived, that children are unable to correctly perceive touch, sound, light, movement. Many people experience occasional difficulties with this, but they're not, such as not being able to tolerate loud sounds, or they be being bothered by tags and clothing. But we're talking really about kids who experience significant and chronic symptoms that can disrupt their daily activities and negatively impact their lives. So kids that when things are too bright or too loud, they often will throw tantrums. They're unable to be around, have other children touch them. They're having trouble with social interaction because other kids might be too loud. So, again, this is something that the brain is not interpreting the information correctly.
Well, I can't imagine that. We take that for granted so much, all the sounds we put up with and the noise and even just the lights, like you said. There's so much that we can filter, most people can, and
right.
And you just take that for granted. So when you see a child maybe covering up his ears, it's good for us to know and get educated so we can be compassionate and help them. So when a child who experiences a sensory processing disorder now enters this room, what kinds of, take us through the room as a child would experience it.
Well, as they come into our clinic, we really are sensitive to what they're experiencing. And so often our lighting is dimmed. We have a beautiful swing that helps kids that maybe are overstimulated. The swinging calms them. It also helps organize their nervous system. We have a special quiet room that has a bubble tube in it, which all kids, it's almost like a lava lamp, a huge lava lamp, allows kids that have trouble with interpreting light sensitivity to be able to engage with light and play with light. We also, work on a lot of different balance skills. A lot of kids that have sensory processing disorder are a little disorganized with their movement, so we work a lot on playing movement games and doing obstacle courses. You'll see we have a rock wall. We do, again, have fiber optics. So we really have taken a lot of time to really try to set the room up so that we can individualize it for each child. And the other big thing is when the child comes in, it's really driven by what their sensory system needs. We try to make it fun and challenging during their therapy session, but we're very cognizant of their, a lot of these kids have trouble with too much stimulation. And so by providing the just right fit for them during that particular session.
Mm-hmm. My heart just goes out to these little children. I can't imagine, they obviously, many of them are in the school district, and there's only so much the school district can do. Does insurance cover this?
Insurance does cover this, yes, and they need a doctor's prescription. But, yes, occupational therapy is covered. This technique called sensory integration is the technique we use, is covered by insurance companies.
Okay. And what are the ages, the age range that you see children in there? What do you accept?
We start seeing this developing sometimes babies that are very fussy, babies that have trouble with movement, light, sound. We work babies all the way up until I do treat some adults also. So that's a variety. It's really important that early diagnosis and treatment is very important because the brain is what we call plastic. We can change it by adding stimulation or taking stimulation away. We all learn. Our brain gets more and more integrated every day. So we're really having a push on doing more early intervention with these kids. So starting typically between 18 months to 2 years old and then trying to teach parents proper amount of stimulation to give kids to help them to be able to cope and for families to be able to function better together.
And do you help these parents, I imagine when a child comes into the sensory room, they come once a week, once a month?
Yeah,
how often
they come once a month, and really the focus of our treatment is working with the child individually, but also working with parents, talking about what's going on in daily life, what triggers your child to, you know, if they're having trouble with light or texture, what triggers them, what are some adaptations that we can make so that they can function better at home and that family life can be happier and easier for them. So it's a big focus on what can we do to help you function better with your child at home.
That's exactly it. That's the point I wanted to ask you. Have you seen a change in these children already? You've already been open almost a year now, this room?
Yes,
or has it been
a year?
Yeah, last January. Okay, so January this year, right?
And we've had some
you've seen a lot of children come through. So have you seen a difference? This is obviously you've seen a difference. Otherwise, this wouldn't be open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had some really wonderful outcomes. One particular little girl comes into mind. She was frightened, about 5 years old, frightened of dogs. Dogs barking, the texture of dogs, movement, unable to either go to the park or to go to other people's houses. With the use of our therapy and our team of pet-assisted therapy dogs that we have here at Edward, we've worked with her a couple sessions in a row, and her mom told me the other day she was able to go over to a friend's house that she could never go over to before and actually play at that girl's house because she's not afraid of dogs anymore. So that was so she's able to now go to the park and she's not as frightened and be able to go visit with friends.
Yeah.
So that's really a good outcome that we've had with at least one little girl. But time and time again, families have talked about they can take their kids to birthday parties easier. They can go and visit, you know, family members, eat at restaurants, that sort of thing.
Now this space, this special space at Edward Hospital in Naperville, is it just for children with autism, ADHD, or all the spectrum?
And it's actually, there's a continuum, absolutely, not just kids that have ADHD and autism. There are a lot of kids that are having difficulty with some of their interpretation of sensation. So we really see kids that just aren't functioning very well in everyday life. And if we can problem solve, we have diagnostic testing that identifies these kids, and then just giving them sometimes, you know, 3 to 4 sessions, some tips to parents, and then they come back and see us. So it's not exclusively for kids with autism and ADHD, but that population does benefit highly from sensory integrative therapy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have in my notes here that you had mentioned to my producer, Beth, you have some tips for parents to help children with sensory issues enjoy Halloween. That's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. We look at that Halloween is a very sensory-rich holiday with costumes and lighting and candy, you name it, we were able to feel those sensations. If your child, you know, has some difficulty and they have in the past with Halloween, it's really important to really review with them what to expect. Often setting the stage for kids makes what might be scary not so scary anymore. So really talking to them about that. The other thing is maybe having them wear their costume for multiple days so they can get used to the texture, how heavy it is, how it is to walk in it. That often does help because if they have it on just that day and there's so much stimulation, then they often get very upset because of the way the costume feels.
Mm-hmm.
Other important things may be, you know, talking to your child about practicing trick-or-treating and what does that mean, and when you go up to the door, kind of role-playing that. And sometimes kids really are afraid of, you know, social interaction going up to the door. So maybe kind of thinking about maybe some other things that you can do when you go up to the door, start conversation with your neighbors and not put so much emphasis on the trick-or-treat.
Yeah. And remind your kids to say trick-or-treat.
Right.
Talking about all kids. Don't you find it, Jennifer? When you open the front door, these kids are just standing there with their bags and they're staring at you, and it looks like they've just seen a ghost. And I'm standing. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't hear you say trick or treat. They don't say that. They just stand there. It's hilarious. I'm like, okay, what do you say? Besides saying
right. And sometimes
digress.
Yeah, especially with younger kids, and we can practice with our older kids too, that role-playing really does make it more familiar because it's a pretty unfamiliar interaction. We don't normally go up to someone's door and say, trick or treat, give me something good to eat.
Right.
So, and also just minimizing some of the stimulation. You know, kids that may have some issues with light and noise, it may be easier to go in the afternoon versus the evening. So just really looking at being sensitive to what your child is normally like during the rest of the year and saying, well, what might affect him more on this night, and really being sensitive to that and being proactive and trying to plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a new sensory room at Edward Hospital. Jennifer Mattern, thanks for being on the show to plug this room. It's so important, and it's important that people know about it. I'm bummed that I just found out about it because I would have had it on the show long ago, but I'm glad we could bring it to light now. So for parents that are not aware that this is out there, can you tell us, is this in the – go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Jennifer? Well, tell us exactly where it's located so people can know. And is there a phone number or a website?
Sure, sure. We are located on the campus of Edward Hospital in the Outpatient Rehabilitation Department, which is 120 South Osler, right across from our emergency room. Our phone number is 630-527-3368. Also, we have a really great webpage, www.edward.org/rehab. People are more than willing to, they can contact me through the website if they have any questions, and I'd like to talk to anybody if they had any questions about any of these issues with their children.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Jennifer, thanks for all you're doing over there. And all the tips that you gave for Halloween for those parents that are listening. We plugged it on Facebook and all over social media, and there was quite a lot of comments from parents out there that were excited about you being on and highlighting this wonderful opportunity that is presented to parents in our own backyard. And you also, patients are referred to you from all over Chicagoland. So
absolutely. I get people from Chicago. I get people from the far western suburbs, DeKalb, all over. They come to our facility.
Okay, fantastic. Well, keep up the good work, and thanks again for being on the show.
All right, Dolly.
All right.
A wonderful day.
You too. Okay, so
bye-bye.
That was Jennifer Mattern from Edward Hospital. We got a caller here. Is this Oh, that's my next guest. I better not grab that just yet. I want to play something for y'all. Whoopsie.
It's the Colleen McCarthy Show.
Thank you to my friend Dan Ponce for that. Dan Ponce, my colleague over at WGN News. Dan, every time I come in to – oh, someone's talking. Who's this?
Colleen McCarthy Show.
Yeah, this is the Dolly McCarthy Show. This is Dolly. Who's this? Is this Lisa? Lisa Savignago is my next guest. She's with the 100 Club of Naperville. But real quick, before I get to Lisa, I played you this little song from my friend Dan Ponce from WGN-TV. Whenever I go into work, Dan is always singing that little tune that you just heard, the Dolly McCarthy Show. And I said, Dan, last time I was in work, I said, Dan, I'm going to record you and we're going to play it on the show. Thanks, Dan, for that. Dan has his own, well, he's a reporter on GN, and he's now the early morning news anchor, and he's the radio host. Dan's everywhere. He just had a little baby girl, and just an all-around great guy, and he's my desk buddy, so he's always singing that little tune, so I thought I'd play it every now and then on the show. All right, well, we're going to move on. Thank you, Dan, for that. Lisa Savignago with the 100 Club of DuPage County is on the line. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, hi, Dolly.
How are you? Thanks for being on the
show. Happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. Thanks. Happy to speak with you.
Okay, the 100 Club of DuPage County. Here's another thing. I didn't know about the sensory room at Edward Hospital. I didn't even know about 100 Club of DuPage County. So I figure if I don't know, how many other people don't know? I pretty much consider myself a very informed citizen, and I try to read on everything, and I thought I knew every non-for-profit out there. But I was sad to find out that I had missed the 100 Club of DuPage County. And you know what? This is something that's near and dear to my heart. You offer assistance to families of law enforcement and firefighting personnel. Oh, my goodness. We've got to have you on the show. So when I met you, we met – where did we meet? We met 9/11. right? 9/11.
Yes,
ceremony?
We met at the 9/11 memorial over at the Carroll Stream Fire Protection District. Yes, at their event.
That's right. You are such a cutie too. She's such a doll. You got to meet this gal, Lisa Savignago, and I love her last name. I have another Italian here on the show. Now you know I have an Irish last name, but I'm really Italian. It's nice to
meet you all.
Too funny. All right, so Lisa is the president of the 100 Club of DuPage County. Did I mention that? Want to make sure I mentioned
that?
Yes,
I think you did a couple times, but you can
You've
keep mentioning it. That's a good thing. Yes, I'm the president of
the
board.
She's the boss, and she's served on the board of directors since 2003. Wow, Lisa, you're so dedicated to such a worthy cause. The 100 Club of DuPage County has been around since 1982, but the 100 Club in general started how long ago? It's been around a long
time. Started in, actually, there's not a governing body for the 100 Clubs. There was the first 100 Club that started in 1952, and so all the other 100 Clubs around the United States are kind of patterned after that. It started in Detroit, Michigan, and where a young officer was killed in the line of duty, and this officer had a wife and a child on the way. And there was this local businessman, a dealer, car dealership man named William M. Packer. He contacted 100 of his friends and asked them for a donation. And they created a fund for this officer's widow and for the unborn child. So he received 100% of response and was able to pay off their mortgage and provide an education fund for this child. So that's kind of we're all patterned after like that.
Oh,
yeah, we're all patterned after that.
That's why it's called the 100 Club of DuPage County. That is so good to know. Oh, that's me. I just got goosebumps with that. So I just love that you're so dedicated to helping these families of police officers and firefighters who, folks, they put their lives on the line every day for us, doing the most dangerous job that anyone can do. And
right,
it is our duty.
To do a job that we can't do ourselves. Yes, you are correct. Yes, we offer assistance immediately to any family who's families of law enforcement and firefighting personnel have been killed in line of duty or working in DuPage County. So we're there for them right away. We're very lucky that we don't have a lot of in-the-line-of-duty deaths. We also offer other support in other ways. We call them compassion benefits. So if an officer or firefighter is going through some type of hardship, going through cancer treatments, whatever it may be, their chief will come talk to our chief liaisons to the club and make a recommendation, and we'll offer assistance to them that way too.
Oh, I just love that. And I see that you offer, as soon as you hear about anything that these families are going through, you are right there within 24 hours to basically just hold their hand. And, I mean, a lot of people in this community give a lot of support to our firefighters and personnel. We're very fortunate in this community, but it's really nice to know that no matter what, you guys are there. How do you raise funds for these families?
Yes, we are a nonprofit charitable organization, and a lot of our funds are made through memberships and corporate memberships and just private donations. We have an annual dinner every year that we give out our Valor Awards. That's also a little bit of a fundraiser, too. We have some other little fundraisers throughout the year, but it's mainly through donations. We have a big one coming up in April. We're having Tom Dreesen come in for two shows at the Wentz Hall Concert Hall over at North Central College, and he'll be doing a show on behalf of the 100 Club of DuPage County. So we're really excited about that.
I missed that.
Tom Dreesen was he was the opening act for Frank Sinatra for many, 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 many years, and so he does a little bit of stand up, and then he does all of this great memory. He takes you on memory lane and tells stories about what it was like working with Frank Sinatra. It's a fabulous show. Yeah,
sounds
so that's
very
happening
entertaining.
In April.
Okay, when is that? That's happening in
that
April.
That is in April, April 11th and 12th.
Well, you'll have to come back on, Lisa, and plug that. We'll have you back on and
absolutely.
And
but then when you ask how we raise money, that we do little events like that. If you keep track of our website or our Facebook page and Twitter, we're always having events going on. But it's mainly through private donations.
All right. Well, you have a Facebook page. You mentioned that. The website, if anybody wants to check out the 100 Club of DuPage, it's www.100, right? You spell out 100.
Yes.
100clubofdupage.org.
Yes,
.com, .org.
Dot
get
org.
That right. So the Valor Awards banquet you mentioned, is that coming up?
Yes, that's coming up next Wednesday. That's our annual meeting and our Valor Awards. We give out Valor Awards to the police side and fire side. It's a lifelong honor, and it's chosen by their peers for heroic actions of going above and beyond their normal expectations of their duties and their jobs. So, yeah, the award recipients come. We have a wonderful presentation for them and their spouses, and it's a great evening. We show actually videos and kind of recreate the event that had happened. It's very dramatic, and it's a wonderful evening to honor.
Yeah, anybody could go to this, and anyone. It's open to the public too.
It is open to the public.
So if you want
to
come,
please make reservations. You can just go right to our website. There's also you can click right onto make reservations, or you can even call. There's a phone number there too.
Oh, fantastic! I'm going to try to make it out there.
Okay.
So I hope that anybody listening out there, come on out. These are our heroes that have gone above and beyond the call of duty to help you in your everyday life. Things that you take for granted, they are there. They're right there on the front line.
They are there.
And we need to support them. You know, the 100 Club at DuPage County, there's also the 100 Club. There's one in Chicago. I just recently got LinkedIn Joe Ahern, who was the former president of Channel 7, the general manager. I can't remember his exact title there. Was it Channel 2? Jeez, I think he was at both of those stations. Anyway, just friended me on LinkedIn, and I noticed he is the president of the 100 Club. Is that of Chicago?
He is the executive director of the 100 Club. It's actually 100 Club of Cook County. It sometimes goes 100 Club of Chicago, but it encompasses all of Cook County. But we have one here nice and strong and growing here in DuPage County, too. So,
okay. All right. So that banquet is next week, Wednesday, October 30th. It starts at 6:30. And it's your opportunity to come and shake hands with firefighters. You're going to be giving awards to firefighters and policemen for what, a fireman of the year, a firefighter of the year?
Valor Award. It's the Valor Award.
Okay.
For their heroic actions, yes. We actually have two for the fire side. And actually, I can tell you who it is. There's one for the Hinsdale Department. There's also from Naperville. And then our police that we're going to be honoring is someone from Westmont. So it'll be a great evening. It'll be a great evening.
Well, I'm so glad that I was able to have you on the show today, Lisa. Really, Lisa Savignano, keep up the good work. She's the president of the 100 Club of DuPage County. And she's been on the board since 2000. Boy, you are really dedicated to this. It's so nice to have you on the show. Really nice. So keep up the good work, Lisa. I hope I see you next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to seeing you there again. I had the honor of meeting this woman, this beautiful lady, at the 9/11 ceremony in Carroll Stream. And you really are just an incredible woman. Was your family members, anybody a member, a firefighter or a police officer? How did you get involved with this?
Actually, no. I come from a civilian family, so I do not have any members of my family in the service. I was approached by another corporate member who had happened to be president at the time, and they were just looking to diversify their board. They were looking for other women to come onto their board, and so the board is really representative of different corporations, lawyers, mayors, a great group of professional people. That are on the board. So that's how I got involved.
That is great. You know, I don't have I don't really have anybody directly in my family other than my brother-in-law who's a firefighter in Chicago. And he's just now going to be a lieutenant. I'm so proud of him. We're having a party for him.
Congratulations.
But I grew up – yeah, we're so excited. I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago, and all of friends and neighbors, you know, every other house was a police officer or a firefighter in Chicago, it seemed like. So I have so much respect and love for these families because they really do. Every day is you never know what will happen. And it was a hostage situation down the street from our house. I won't go into detail, but it was an awful situation. And my uncle Wally Murphy, who just passed away this year, He was a Chicago cop for many, many, many years, probably 35 years, maybe more. But I remember going down the street on my bike and saying, why are all those cop cars there? What's going on? What's going on? So all the kids in the neighborhood brought their bikes down there, and we see all these cops and firefighters. They're all there, and then I see my Uncle Wally, and it just hit home. I was so scared, and I ran home and told my mom, Uncle Wally's there, and, you know, it was a scary situation. And I said, we got to call Aunt Regina and tell her. And she said, no, we don't call Aunt Regina. She doesn't need the stress right now to know what situation her husband is in at the moment. And that was when it really hit me. It struck me that, you know, it really is a very risky, hard job, and I had so much more respect and love for my Uncle Wally and all of the firefighters and police officers out there. So glad the 100 Club is out there keeping these families and these men and women in mind. So keep up all the great work you're doing, Lisa.
Great.
And we'll have
you back on the show in
March. Okay, thanks for being on the show.
Bye-bye. Terrific. Thank you very much, Dolly. Bye-bye.
All right. We are moving on. You know what? We are moving on here. You may recognize this song. It's going to take a while for his voice to come on. We do not have Blake Shelton on the show today, but we will. Working on that. Here we are. Just love this man. All right, I will. Just had to play a little bit of Blake there. But guess what? We've got the next best thing, right? We also have a wonderful Travis Thrasher is on the line, and he is an amazing author in his own right, but he recently co-wrote a book called Time for Me to Come Home with Blake Shelton's mom, Dorothy Shackelford. And, well, first of all, Travis, thanks for being on the show. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, hi, Dolly. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on the show.
Now, they told me I was going to sing. Isn't that correct? No, I'm just kidding.
Really? All of us
do. No, I can't sing.
All the boys around here.
I love that song, you know, the red, Nick. Yeah,
I just, don't you just love that, man? Oh, my God. And and this book that you've co-written with Dorothy, his mom, is, I'm halfway through it. Thank you for the book, for sending it to me, and thank you to Dorothy for sending it to me. I'm halfway through it. I just love this book, and it's perfect. It's putting me in the mood for Christmas, you know. You know, it snowed in Chicago this week, and I understand you're from the Chicago area. Did you see any of the snow?
Yeah, we saw a little snow. I work in Batavia. That's where I am right now. My office is, and you know, I was working on a project, but I have two windows that I look out. And I was talking to my wife, and she's like, "It's snowing." And I actually look up. I'm like, "Oh, that's right. There's snow going on." Yeah. So yeah, it's perfect for the book, right?
Yes, the book is called Time for Me to Come Home. It's coming out October 29th. Are you really excited about it? Are you doing any tours to promote the book with Dorothy?
Yeah,
I'm
excited for a couple reasons. I mean, it was such a delightful project to just, you know, be working with Dorothy Shackelford, Blake's mother, and she's a delightful woman. Just to be in Blake's universe, because he's such a you know, he's such a big star, but he's also such a just a fun guy. But so the great thing about like a project like this is, you know, most of my part is done, and the part that I love doing the most is the writing. But, you know, there are a couple of things I'm actually going to be doing this probably in November and December related to not only this book, but trying to tie in, like, I think we're going to do a couple of events in Nashville, very appropriate, with a couple of musicians, which will sort of do, you know, like almost a little concert venue / book signing, book release party. So, and those are very unusual, but because of a book like this, which is very much directly related to a musician. So, but the other thing that I was going to mention is, you know, Dorothy is going to be doing a lot of media for this, and, you know, and that's great. She should be. I mean, I'm I'm a writer, and that's what I love doing the most, and I don't mind talking about my books, but at the same time, I'd much rather watch somebody else doing that and talking and being articulate and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I get to, you know, watch the media on this, and it'll be fun, you know. So, but I'll be getting out there and doing some stuff too, so.
Well, good. Well, I'm so glad. Are we your first stop?
yeah, you are. You actually are. Yeah.
We are.
So,
we are so honored to have you, Travis. But now you have, we'll talk a little bit more about the book, but I want to get to you. What makes you so interesting is it's amazing. You've written so many books.
I have.
How long? You've probably been writing since you were two. I mean, really, how do you crank them out? I've always said, I want to write a book. But how do you write 30? How many books have you written so far?
Yeah, I've written way over the amount of books I've had published because a lot of them are still sitting in my closet or sitting on a hard drive. But I think, you know, when I add it up, and sometimes I have to remember there are a couple of ebook only releases, but when I add them all up, it's over 25. I know that, and
I'm
very grateful for it. I mean, I've wanted to be a writer since third grade. I wrote my first novel in ninth grade, and the best thing about that was I wrote and completed it, and so ever since then I was like, you know what, I did it in ninth grade, I could do it again.
Ninth grade, wow.
Yeah. And I got a job at a publishing house right out of college, and it really taught me all the ins and outs of the business. I used to work with authors directly, and this is what I wanted to do. So I'm going on over 6 years of writing full time. My first book got published in 2000, but I'm very grateful to do something I love, and also I'm grateful that I haven't been boxed in, you know, to, because I've done a lot of different variety of things. I've done, you know, both sort of the sweet little stories like Time for Me to Come Home, but I've also done some darker, you know, more thrillers, almost supernatural horror. And you know, that's a wide variety of things, but I'm glad to be able to do that. Yeah.
Especially for me reading The Time to Come Home, which is the sweetest story. If you're interested in this book, it comes out October 29th, and I'm sure Anderson Bookshop in downtown Naperville will have it, and some of the other bigger stores. But it's the sweetest story to read, especially around the holidays. A great message. It's kind of like a true story, too, right, having to do with Blake Shelton's mom, and I think the main character is a country singer.
Country singer.
And he's on the road trying to get home, and I won't – you want to give a little brief?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, there, you know, we wanted it to be obviously made up. It's a fictitious story, but it's got a ton of elements and winks and nods to Dorothy and her family and Blake. And, you know, the most obvious is the main character is a country musician. He's been on the road for a long time, and he's sort of lost his way. He's dealing with grief, although you won't see that until later. But he's really, you know, he gets a call a couple days before Christmas because he's not really planning on being home, and his mother simply says, you know, look, it's time for you to come home. So he embarks on this trip, and it kind of is, I like to say it's sort of a, it's a little bit of a Planes, Trains, Automobiles, except with different characters, because, you know, this country musician has to make it back to his home in Oklahoma. Well, who's from there? You know, and of course, you know, he finds a companion alongside this trip, and it's sort of a fun and feisty accountant of all things, who also happens to be a female, and who's quite an interesting person, and you know, very unlikely person for this country musician to be next to, but they make a wonderful pair, and so. It's totally fun. I mean, it's really...
It really is. I'm enjoying the read. I really am. I'm at the part where they're stuck in Chicago, and she just discovers or finds out who he is. As you mentioned, this woman in the book. And let me just point out, too, many country fans out there will recognize the title, Time for Me to Come Home, is based on Blake Shelton and Dorothy's hit song that was on his Christmas album, I think it was 2 years ago.
So,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And there's adorable, there's the cover and the back cover. It's just an adorable book. Make a great stocking stuffer.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'm not getting paid by Travis for any of this, but I love to read. I love good books, and this is an adorable book for Christmas time. It would make a great gift, and it's a nice size and fits nicely in my purse when I'm running around town. But I'm halfway through it, and I'm really enjoying it, Travis. Your writing is a delight. It's enjoyable, and I can't believe almost 30 books you've written. How do you come up with the ideas? But oh, one more thing I noticed in some of the research that I did on you, and I love this because I think I'm hoping I'm creating a writer in my children, because one of the first books that I had them read before Harry Potter, before Captain Underpants novels, I had them read The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was beautiful.
Your first batch of readings, right?
Yeah.
Did that really inspire
you,
that writing in there? Was that one of the first inspirational moments where you just love the words? And
yes. Yeah, our teacher would read, in third grade, our teacher would read during lunch, like a little portion of the Chronicles of Narnia, and I don't think we went through the whole series, but I know we did at least a few of the books. Of course, we did Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, but for me, it was so eye-opening because I think I always struggled to read and finish, and then somebody was reading it for us, and there was, you know, you had to listen. I mean, it was just that time, and I remember just being so engrossed and thinking, how cool would it be to be able to come up with characters and create worlds of my own? And ever since then, you know, that stuck. I mean, just the you know, my imagination, being able to walk in the shoes of other people, and I love that. I mean, it's been a joy. So it's great that you've done that, you know, having read those books, because yeah, that certainly was the spark for me. And you know, it continues to be. I mean, you know, just, and I've never done something like fantasy, but I've always wanted to. But you know, for me, it's always about the character. You know, it's always about genre doesn't matter, whether it's, you know, like Time for Me to Come Home, it's a Christmas story. Well, that's fine, but you know, when you peel it away, it's really about, you know, a man trying to come to grips with himself and find himself. And I in this particular story, it's, you know, it's not like, you know, life and death, and it's not so heavy-handed, because it's not meant to be. I mean, this particular type of story. But there's still, at the end, hopefully, you know, there's a takeaway. Hopefully, you know, people will get to the end and be like, okay, this was a fun journey, but I maybe learned a little, maybe saw a little of myself even in the characters. And and the message is a good one. So yeah, I love stories, and they never get old. I mean, I'm always inspired. The fun thing with a book like this is you've already got the template down. I mean, you've got like a story that's kind of somewhat told already, or at least a premise. The premise of the song was, you know, the mother calls her son and says, it's time for you to come home. But you don't, it could be anything. I mean, it could be anybody and anything. And I thought, well, you know, let's obviously try to do something that's a nod to Blake and Dorothy. And even in the character and just the humor and all that stuff, I really tried to really sort of say, this is, you know, Dorothy Shackelford's world and Blake Shelton's world and people who love them and know them. You know, then it'll be even more fun for them as they take this journey. You know, so that's always a fun part in doing these collaborations. You know, trying to really say, okay, this is the universe according to these artists. What would this story look like? You know, what would it sound like and feel like? And
So when you're writing this book when you're co-writing a book with you know, big name. Not many people know Dorothy, but they know her son. But she's still a big name in her own right. And when you're collaborating, I wonder, you know, as I'm reading the words, I'm wondering, Is this Travis? Is this Dorothy?
Yeah.
What is it? Do you write a page and she writes the next page? How do you do it?
No,
or does
you
she
know,
give you the story idea and some of the humor, as you said, sprinkled in there?
Yeah, what we did, I mean, once we decide, we really decided on a story itself, kind of based on the song, and mm-hmm. and it wasn't just, it was, you know, Dorothy and the publisher and, you know, people behind the scenes, you know, everybody says, okay, we like this story, and then, and, you know, I'm a writer, so, you know, I just start the process. It's not like a give or take. There are sort of these interludes throughout it, and that's the thing where it's a lot more of kind of the real life experiences, some of the nuggets of you know, the Christmas path that Dorothy and her family have had. We tried to weave those together, and I, you know, and what I did is it's a matter of back and forth, really talking on the phone or email, just saying, you know, okay, tell me some things about what it was like, you know, when you guys were all together, you know, some mm-hmm. Christmas memories. And I tried to weave those together, but not in some sort of a, you know, this is not a biography, this isn't a memoir. So we tried to do that in just a very natural sort of way. So, and then what happens is, like, I'll submit a batch of writing, and then, you know, Dorothy can make comments and suggestions and changes, and then, you know, once... Mm-hmm. Once the book is finished, then we go through the process of the editor making suggestions and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I still do a majority of the writing, but it's like I'm constantly guided through the process. And I enjoy it. I mean, I've written enough of my own books that I don't feel territorial. I mean, for me, it's an opportunity to work with artists or other people and learn from them, just try to, you know, hear what they want to do, what sort of story they want to tell. Some of these collaborations I've done, this is the fourth book I've done where I've taken a song and made it into a novel. Each one has been different because a couple of times the person I've done it with, they've wanted a lot more input mm-hmm. and interaction and even sending me chapters, which I put into the book. And then sometimes it's very hands-off. It's like I do my work, I, you know, communicate with them back and forth, and then we have an end product. And I love it because it's not the same process every time, and it's mm-hmm. it's always with different people, different personalities. Mm-hmm. And the best thing about this is, you know, it's funny because I you know, you can't get much bigger than somebody like Blake Shelton, but still, you will find people that they don't know country, they don't know pop culture. So, you know, I've told some people, I'm like, man, I'm working on this book, and it's based on a song by Blake Shelton, and they're like, who? And I'm like, oh, come on. I mean, but there are people like that. I mean, you know, you just don't know. So
yeah,
it's
right.
Always interesting to see,
just
you know.
Like the character.
yeah.
Like,
and they're like, who's that?
I didn't even know who Heath was. Heath is the name of the main, Yeah,
and she's from Oklahoma. It's like, and that's part of the fun is like she doesn't realize she's traveling with this, you know, celebrity and stuff. And you know, it that might seem somewhat unbelievable, but they're, you know, we all live in our own little worlds, and especially if it's somebody's in their own little world and they're, I made the woman an accountant just because I thought that'd be funny. I got to know an accountant from a very different person, but an accountant from Oklahoma, and I'm like, oh, I got to put her in this book, kind of in a quasi way. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
that's a little kind of fun. That's the fun things you can do when you're controlling the story, you know?
Yes. And now you also wrote a book you said you've collaborated with about four other artists, and one of my favorite artists, or it's a couple, is Thompson Square. Right?
Yeah.
And the book was called Are You Gonna Kiss Me? It's like, it's named after the song. The hit song.
Yeah,
right?
Are you gonna kiss me or not? Yeah.
Are you gonna kiss me or not? How many have you ever said that to a woman or a man? Has a woman ever said that to you?
Yeah.
And it's cute. I gotta read that next. That's my next read.
You know,
someone
that's a good
that in
question.
My
I actually think it has been uttered maybe maybe not. And I don't want to say that in like a, of course, you know, but it's probably been uttered in somewhat that way because I was such a shy teenager, you know, like I was the boy who'd be like, it would be awkward. And probably a girl, you know, who knew I was interested would be like, hello, you know, like what, you know, so, and that particular story was a ton of fun. I mean, again, it was just a sweet little love story.
Yeah. Has anybody ever heard this song? Come on, you've heard this. I'm going to play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I hope I don't get in trouble for this. We'll wait till we get to the... Here it comes. Hang in there, Travis. Here it comes. It's the
sweetest great song.
And there's a book about it.
Yeah.
Co-written by Travis Thrasher.
And, you know, it was, again, it, you know, you try to take that song, the feeling behind it, you take a couple like Thompson Square, and you don't want to write their story because this is a novel. They were very... That was the biggest thing when they said, look, you know, this isn't about us, and just write a fun story. And so you try to build a story around it. And it was a lot more of a kind of deeper, complicated story in one sense because, you know, I just thought, okay, what if this particular thing happens, but then this couple doesn't actually even get together until, like, you know, years from now. So... Again, that's the fun part of doing these stories, and you know, it's ironic that they continue to come, and you know, I'm like, hey, like keep them coming. I mean, I love the process that it's been. So it's been, yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, how lucky is it that you are doing something you love, and you were inspired at a very young age. Encouraged by Miss Miller, your teacher in third grade, and you know, it just goes to show that how much of an impact teachers and adults have, such a huge impact on the children of today and tomorrow, and their dreams. And you're very fortunate in that situation to have been surrounded by teachers that were very purposeful in their words. And in their actions. I mean, who could get third graders to sit during lunchtime and listen to the Chronicles of Narnia? That would have been some teacher.
I know. It wasn't like I was that great of a writer either. I think she just saw something that I really loved to do, and that I was halfway decent at. And you know, and encouragement does go a long way. I mean, you know, my parents too were always encouraging to me. My father is not a fiction reader at all, but at the same time, you know, the act of working on something, you know, being disciplined, he appreciates that. And so being able to finish something in ninth grade, for instance, or you know, writing novel after novel once I got out of college and I'm trying to get published, you know, people have often encouraged me in that. And I always tell people, I say, I don't think I'm the best writer out there. And writing's so subjective anyway. But I always say I really do think my number one ability is just being persistent, just being probably stubborn and hard-headed, you know, in terms of writing. Because especially a novel, I mean, a 100,000-word novel, it is, even if you're writing it at a fast pace, that takes a long time to work on. So, you know, when you don't have a contract, when you don't have people asking you for it, you know, it takes a lot of discipline and determination to just keep at it. And I always tell people, whether they're young or old, anybody can write, anybody can finish a story. Whether or not you get published is another thing. Whether or not you get paid, that's another thing. And, you know, but you have to at least try it out. You have to finish. Start. Finishing is such a big deal, especially when you want to work on a novel. And a book like Time for Me to Come Home, it's very cool because, you know, they came to me with a project. And then it was very, very short timing. I mean, I really didn't have hardly any time to work on this because, you know, once they said, hey, let's do this, then they're like, okay, let's try to have it out by the end of October, you know. And I was like,
well, how much
wow.
And so how much time did you actually spend writing on this, on the whole from start to finish?
I'll just say very short time because, I mean, when I actually say how much time, it almost, then I don't ever want to come across as like a hack or like, you know, like, or as if like, hey, you know, we just wrote this sucker up on the weekend and, you know, because, but it was a project. I mean, as in April, I didn't know anything about this project. So, and then, you
okay.
know,
wow.
middle of April, yeah, that was the first time I heard about it. And so it was, but, you know, the great thing is I'd wanted to write a kind of a story similar to this years ago. So, you know, you carry these stories around sometimes in a backpack, in a creative backpack, and sometimes you write them and it's like, oh, it didn't work out, or you just didn't do it. And with this, it was great because I was like, okay, let me take that idea, but then let me, what do you think of this? And let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out great. And, you know, I still love how it all came together. And honestly, for people, I think the book is going to sell well. Just as you mentioned, the packaging alone, it's just a beautiful book. I mean, you know, even if I say, look, it would make a good decoration in the house, even if you don't read it. I want people to read
house.
It, but
the
know.
House on the cover is that
yeah.
is that Dorothy's house or is that just some random?
No, it's just it's just a made up. But it's so warm and inviting, and
it
you
is.
Know, it's perfect
it
for you know what a Christmas story is, and you know, a lot of people, you know, for a type of book like this, they want something that's you know. That's kind of lighter and fun, and but again,
very
like I said,
sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah, it's got that takeaway at the end, you know.
And you've probably got a zillion more ideas for future books, I bet. But what is your next project, Travis? What's your next project you're working on?
Yeah,
I've got
several, but you know, the one I've done so far, I've done one teen series of books like YA. Books, and it was four books. So I'm doing another series, and I've gotten a lot of validation on maybe it's because of my immaturity or whatever, but my ability to write teen characters. So I've got a book coming out in May called Marvelous. It's the first of a four-book series, and it's a love story, but it's also sort of it's got a bit of a supernatural twist, but it's really about a senior in high school who falls in love with this girl, and she's basically, you know, she feels like she's destined to, you know, destined by God, has almost been called by God to do this amazing thing, but she doesn't know what it is. And so, you know, and she also thinks she's going to die. So it sounds kind of...
Oh.
Yeah, my description
of that
probably was.
It's not one of your scary stories, is it?
No, it's not totally. It's not scary, but it's got some creepy elements, and it's a cool
teens
thing.
Like it's for teens. The book is for teens.
Yeah, it's for teens. So
for
of course they're gonna.
But
you know, I'm also working on a novelization, and those are fun because I get to kind of do what I did with Time for Me to Come Home. But I do it with a movie. So somebody sends me a movie script that they've already made a movie for, and then I start putting it into novel form. So, again, it's a collaboration. I'm taking somebody else's work, but then I'm able to put my own words and my own abilities around it. So, I'm very, very grateful for being able to do what I do. You know, sometimes it's a little scary because, you know, it's like, going from one month to the next, trying to figure out, okay, how do I earn an income and provide for the family? But it's awesome because projects like these come along, and they're it's like a dream come true to be able to keep writing. You know, sometimes it's a dream come true. Sometimes it feels like a nightmare because you're like, you know, it's very unstable in terms of that's just the reality of somebody who is a somebody who's an artist, you know, making a
right,
living.
Right.
You know, but that's,
well, you're
that's,
so good at what you do. Obviously, if you're working with big names like Shelton's mom and
Tom
Square, and I've read your halfway through this book, and I just love it. It's delightful. And
cool, thank you.
How wonderful it is that you can write, do what you love. I mean, you're such an inspiration for young kids today because, you know, it's all – sometimes it's, you know, the way society is. It's all about, okay, what are you going to do to make money? What are you going to do to thrive and prosper? And you are showing that passion for something, and you just work at it. You got to work hard. There's no way around it. I tell my son this. He's 17, going off to college next year. You got to work hard, and you got to work smart, and you got to do what you love. And you're going to be good at it. Just keep at it, and just don't let money motivate you. Let the pure joy and your passion come through. And it's totally what I love that you're on the show today because people listening hear that, no matter what they're going to, whether it be writing or accounting, whatever, as long as you have a passion and you work hard. And,
it's
great
hard.
Advice. And
just
advice.
Because, you know, you know, you can work hard, and sometimes it's like you keep pounding at one particular door, and that stays shut, but it's always surprising what other doors will open if you continue to sort of knock. I mean, that's my whole thing. So, you know, I'm these collaborations, for instance, are ones that I would have never seen. I wasn't looking for them, but they came to me, and I was a little hesitant at first because I was like, I don't know. But they've been really joys to work on because I'm being able to work with other people and learn from them. So it's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get a chance to meet Dorothy in person when you're working on these collaborations? How about Thompson Square? Were you able to meet them?
I got a chance to meet everybody. I haven't gotten a chance to meet Dorothy, and the reason why was because of the time frame. I mean, it was just so tight that – you know, and she was so sweet. I mean, she was like, you know, look, if you're ever in Oklahoma, come on by the house and all that sort of stuff. And and I still want to. I mean, you know, I'm selfishly want to end up meeting, you know, Blake and the rest of the family. And you know, from just the interacting with
you go to a Blake's. Just hold the book up. Hey, I wrote this book with your mom.
I know. But, you know, it's cool. Like I got to meet the Thompson Square couple before one of their concerts in Chicago. I just wanted, you know, FaceTime with them as we were working on the book. But then it was great. I mean, I got this backstage all access pass to the thing. And, I mean, it was awesome. I was like,
you got one of those get out of my way passes, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was
people to start writing.
Yeah, that was really, that was a bit surreal. And then again, I met with them at another time, you know, their manager was like, you know, they were in the Chicago area. And, you know, I'm always careful. I don't want to be a nuisance. And, you know, I'm like the writer guy. So it's, but one of these days, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get a chance to meet Dorothy and just, you know, thank her for this. She's just a real sweet lady and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you have done a fantastic job with this book. It's very sweet, and it's coming out October 29th. And then in May, look for a new book by Travis Brasher called, say it again, this is for teens.
Yeah, it's called
Summer Read.
Yeah, it's a great summer read called Marvelous, and it's a first of a four-book YA series. So, it's a lot of fun. You know, my website's travisthrasher.com. It's so easy to find people nowadays online, so I just tell people, like, just Google me because I'm all over Facebook and Twitter. And it's almost, you know, anytime I even try to sum up all my writing projects, it's confusing. My wife is even confused. She's always like, now what are you working on? What's going on? She is starting to finally read. She hasn't read it yet. She's just starting to read Time for Me to Come Home because that's right up alley. We have three young girls. Our eldest is about to turn seven. And then we have three-year-old twins. And
you're busy.
So we're busy.
Oh, you're very busy.
She's,
tell Dorothy to come visit you. You're in baby jail.
Yeah.
That's what we used to call it. Well, you're just kind of, you just can't
totally
really
are.
Go anywhere. You can barely get to the jewel.
No, so I can't even, I mean, I can't say, Sharon, I mean, how dare you? You haven't read my book. I mean, come on. She'll throw the book at my head. I mean, no. So, yeah, it's fun, funny. But it's a lot of joy.
You've written so many, and I can't imagine how she could keep up, especially with twins that young.
Yeah.
But you keep writing. You keep writing.
I will. Thank you.
And I would love to have you on the show again. Maybe we'll get you on in May, and we'll talk about the team.
Yeah,
book.
I'd love to. I'm local, and maybe we'll run into each other, but I'd love to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
You're so welcome, and I love that you're local because, you know, we have guests from all over the world on this show, and it's like it's nice to have someone who's local and doing amazing things like you are, writing. I just love writing. One day I'll get to my novel. Maybe I'll have
if you ever want any,
write it with me.
listen, if I told somebody who I'm going to start writing a book with, I said, look, the thing I do well, I finish. So if there's any sort of encouragement I can give you along the process, Dolly, I mean, I'm being sincere. You know, I've done it long enough where I really love helping people to really finish. I mean, you know, ultimately get that book written, whatever it might be. And then, you know, if it's published, if it's a bestseller, if it just sits there, whatever happens, that I can't. None of us can control that, but so yeah. If you ever need
to
pick my brain,
I will. I may be knocking on your door someday. The satisfaction of just starting, right, Travis? Just start and then finish. And,
Well,
that's the two most important. Started showing up, being there, and continue to keep writing. What's your last bit of advice? Get some advice out there to young writers, kids out there that are in school writing. And enjoying
well,
the writing process.
You know, I say don't give up. I say finish what you start. And then, you know, I always say, you know, some people say, well, okay, in terms of writing, well, maybe I need to start with a short story or maybe I need to do what's this or that. Look, it's difficult enough to try to write and finish something you love. Pick the number one book idea you have. And you know, because if you're not promised tomorrow or you're not promised next week, so why not work on a story idea that you absolutely love? I mean, you know, that's my encouragement. Yeah.
Travis Thrasher, it was such a joy talking to you. So much
fun.
Yeah,
thank you, Dolly. This is great.
You're so welcome. Thanks for being on the Dolly McCarthy Show. The book is called Time for Me to Come Home. You hear my boy in the background there, Blake Shelton. The book is written by Dorothy Shackelford and Travis Thrasher, Dorothy, of course, as you mentioned, Mama to Blake. We love that man. What a great time we've had talking to Travis. It's such a joy talking to him. And we are now, Blake, I'm going to set you up. God, I love that song. We need to go move on now. It's time for our Good Inspiration segment. Republic speaker and author herself, Michelle Lynn Gust. Michelle, good morning. Thanks for holding
on. Good morning, Dolly.
Were you listening to this? I'm sure you were on hold, so you obviously heard me talking with Travis Thrasher, who's written close to 30 novels. You have written how many yourself? Tons yourself.
I've written eight books.
Eight books? Even that? Mm-hmm. Most people can't even read or write one book. Some people can't even read a book.
I'm better at writing than reading.
Well, maybe I should try writing because I just can't get through. I start reading all these books and I put them down. I'm halfway through them and then I want to read the next book and then I get distracted with somebody's sick in the house or I've got to work a ton and, you know, I've got to finish the book. I've got half of it. I always start it, but I've got to finish. And
well,
they're all good books.
Let's talk
and
about how you do
book.
That.
Speaking of books, Michelle wrote Conversations with the Water, a memoir of cultivating hope. And today her segment is about setting and achieving goals, starting and finishing a book. How about that? It's easier than we think. All right, Michelle, help me out here. Tell us
well,
about
I mean, that's, I mean, what you say, though, I mean, and I'll tell you what, I'm with you there on the reading. I mean, I read a whole ton. I was a kid who read all the time, and now part of my problem, the reason I don't read as much as I write is because I get caught up in too many things. But I'm going to tell you that, tell a little personal story, is that one of the issues that I've had for me is everybody thinks that I'm so motivated because I have accomplished quite a bit that I don't need any help. I don't need anybody to motivate me. I don't need anybody to be accountable to, and that's furthest from the truth. So one of the things I really think is important about goal setting, no matter what you decide to do, whether it be to lose weight, to go back to school, to write a book, is that you find someone you can be accountable to. And I tried various people in my life, couldn't find anyone. And I have a woman who, I live in New Mexico, she lives in Massachusetts, who actually is a suicide attempter, what we call a suicide attempt survivor, has attempted suicide at least once and has chronic suicidal feelings because of mental health and physical issues. And so what I realized one day was that this may be a way to give her, you know, it was for her, she needs a purpose, and I needed someone to be accountable to. And so and she's a writer. She has a blog about being a suicide attempt survivor and is working on a book now. And so last fall, we started this for just December, that we would each write a page a day. And our birthdays were in December, so we took those days off. We took Christmas off. And what we had to do was we had to email each other when we were done that day. And you just simply email, I completed my writing, and we then continued it. And we are now, we're doing a page and a half 5 days a week. And that was her idea because I can't actually, there's some days I just can't write. I have too many things. But doing a page and a half forces me to write, and then I'm actually writing a little more than I was doing a page a day. And I have to tell you, so every day we are accountable to each other. And
Are you still accountable to each other even today? Like,
yes. Even today, I will be accountable to her later as soon as I finish my writing. Yes.
Every day since
almost
last
a year later.
December. Mm-hmm.
And it's not every day. I mean, there have been things, you know, I moved, and I mean, we, you know, there are life mm-hmm. events that you have to, and that's another thing about goal setting, is you have to allow yourself a little bit of flexibility. And that's really hard for me because I'm one of those people like, oh, my gosh, I said I was going to do it, I'm going to do it. But I have to give myself that, a little bit of a break. So, no, we are still, I have my writing, I know what I'm going to write about today. And that does not include my blog. That does not include what I write for April Sun. That is purely manuscript writing. And it has been I have written more this year than any other year because of this. And
because
having
of that.
Somebody,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and it also has given her, if you were to ask her, what she tell you is that she's doing really well. She's found a purpose because it's forced her. You know, she started this blog. She's working on a book. Her frame of mind, although she still struggles, she's always going to struggle in some way, be challenged by that, but she's doing much better. And our lives are very, very different, but we found this one thing to connect on. And I think the greatest part about that is you never know how people can come together and help each other.
Oh, ain't that the truth? That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I love how you had someone there who had similar goal as you to write, and you held each other accountable. Let's say you don't have somebody. I think, and tell me if you think this is a good advice. I'm going to throw my advice up there. Because I had for years struggled with the baby weight. Everybody knows I have five mm-hmm. kids. And the last child, I could not lose the weight. And I tried dieting. I tried eating right. It just wasn't working out until I set a goal for myself. I said, in 6 months, this is where I want to be. And I set a date. You know, if you're not going to be doing something every day, well, obviously I was doing something every day about my weight and the choices I made, but doesn't it help to have an end date, a goal, even though you know after that date you're going to continue to do this pattern of writing or weight loss or just being healthier, but would you say that having a date, a goal, an end date helps
absolutely,
with setting goals?
Absolutely, and that was the other piece I was going to talk about, is that you have this big goal, so your goal was to beat a certain weight in 6 months, but I'm sure that you broke that down to smaller goals, and that's where that's another place where people, you know, so many people, especially New Year's, that's the day, you know, you're going to start and do all these things, and I mean, I see that
from
my house.
Don't start goals on New Year's, because you never do.
No, don't
start,
ever start anything.
Right now. Right now. Start
exactly.
Right now, right?
Exactly, and I these people
things,
for
like you said, mm-hmm.
right.
Every,
I see these people.
Every day.
Right, I see these people at the park by my house running, and then the next, you know, a few weeks later, they're all gone, and that's because you have to set little goals. And I think Jackie Joyner Kersee talked about that last week. Is that what you do? Is you break the bigger goal down into smaller goals, and you know, whether that be to lose a pound a week, to exercise every day, to And you can change those goals over 6 months because you're going. If you're talking about weight loss, you're going to plateau at some point. You're going to have to figure, you're going to have to change something else, or maybe you're going to get tired of exercising a certain way, and so maybe you need to switch from walking to swimming, or, you know. But and then the point of breaking down the smaller goals too is then it's really important that you reward yourself, and that doesn't have to be anything major. That doesn't have to be like I'm going to go out and, you know, buy a dress, you know, a very expensive dress or something. It could be as simple as a treat. I mean, I don't believe that anybody should give up everything in terms of junk food, because if you do, eventually, maybe in 6 months, you're going to eat six bags of chips.
Yeah.
When if you'd allowed yourself an occasional, some chips, you know, occasional small
reward
bag.
Yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
so those rewards.
It doesn't have to be food. Yeah,
no,
it
and it does. Well, that's the thing. No,
for my situation, it was I cheated myself with less dance lessons. I said, "Well, all right," and the goal wasn't to lose weight per se. It was I kept saying to myself, "I want to be stronger. I want to be stronger," instead of saying, "I want to be skinny." And I want to, you know, I just felt like as you get older, you lose muscle mass, and I was doing cartwheels in the grass with my daughters, and I had stars floating around. And when I got back up, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be stronger. So then I rewarded myself not with food, although the occasional trip to Red Mango in downtown Naperville for yogurt is always fun, but rewarded myself by saying, okay, now you're allowed to take dance lessons. And that's something I find so much joy. So you have to treat yourself and be good to yourself.
Right, absolutely.
That makes the goals bearable.
And that gives you something to look forward to, especially on the day if, you know, if we're talking about weight loss or a day when I don't want to write. And one of my rewards, I wrote 100 pages in August on a manuscript, and I had actually bought several dresses. I did not pay a lot for them. They were bought. I want to be clear. People hear 303 dresses, and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, what did you spend? They were dresses bought on a designer discount, the website RueLaLa.com. But they sat in their boxes until those 100 pages were done. I have a dress sitting right here in a box that I cannot open until October 31st when I have finished my writing. So I find something, you know, I don't spend a lot on it, and I don't do it every month, but it's something that has to stay in the package until I have completed my writing for the month. And so when I don't feel like writing, I'm like, oh, I have that dress down there. I need to write today.
I love that. All right. Well, to read more about the goals Michelle has set and achieved in her life, and she's set so many goals and achieved them. Michelle is an inspiration to me, especially.
Thank you.
I read your book. Check out her most current book, Conversations with the Water, a memoir of cultivating hope, and it's available on Amazon and at most bookstores. I got lucky. I got a copy. It was autographed by Michelle. Yay.
You did, and you read it right away.
I love it.
I think you read the whole thing right away.
I did. I read it, like, within a week. And I love the one of the things I loved about it was if you're from Naperville, she sprinkles in a little bit of Naperville throughout the book, and it's just a sweet book. It's a great read. And you can get that at Amazon or at most bookstores. So thanks for all your good inspirations, my friend Michelle. Live good.
Thank you, Dolly. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Do you know what we're going to talk about next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about coping, how we cope with rejection, how we boost ourselves up when we feel rejected.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right, tune in for that one. All right, thanks so much, Michelle, for your good inspiration this week.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. And with that, now it's time to end the show on a good note. Stay positive, everybody. Be good, everybody. Be good to each other. Thanks to all my good guests this week, to Jennifer Madden with Edwards Rehab, and the new sensory room at Edward Hospital. Thanks to Lisa Savignano of the 100 Club of DuPage County. Hey, let's hear it for the boys and girls. I shouldn't say boys and girls. I should say the men and women, all our firefighters and police officers that put themselves in the line, in right on the front lines there, doing the most dangerous job out there. Hats off to them. And to Travis Thrasher, the author who co-wrote the book with Dorothy Shackelford, Mama, Time for Me to Come Home. That book comes out October 29th. It was so fun talking to him. And, of course, then, last but not least, Michelle Lynn Guth, our weekly Good Inspiration segment. We had a lot of good inspirations, didn't we, in this show? A lot of good stuff. That's what the show is all about, the good show. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, by the way, if you haven't already done so, like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Good Dolly Show. I'm Dolly McCarthy. I hope you'll come back to listen in next week for another hour of the Dolly McCarthy Show. By the way, thanks to all those that called in and won tickets. We had Beth took those calls because we wanted to and gave away those tickets. So thanks to everybody who called in and won those tickets. I'm looking forward to meeting you all and seeing you at the concert this weekend for Sheryl Crow at NIU's Convocation Center. If you want tickets, check out NIU's website and meet us over there. Let me know. Shoot me a message on Facebook and Twitter. Let me know that you're going. And we got to hook up and get pictures. So thanks for everybody that called. I'm sorry we didn't take those calls live on the air, but I felt like Travis and all of our guests today and Michelle was just really, really inspiring, and we just had a good flow going. I didn't interrupt it with the phone calls. You know me. I'm so bad with the phone calls, picking up the phone. But anyway, nevertheless, thank you all for listening. I'm Dolly McCarthy. I hope you'll come back and listen in next week for another hour-long show, the Dolly McCarthy Show, with lots of good news, good guests, and a good laugh. And here's my buddy, Dan Ponce, with the show closer. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Wow! I feel nice. The sugar is fine. I feel.